and battle on regardless and make sense of the trauma. And he wrote a song apparently called Big Policeman, which he performed with the backing band on a TV show. So that's incredible. Anyway, the song we're going to play from Willie Mitchell is called, what is it here, Call of the Moose. So we'll play for you that now, and then a couple more tracks from this incredible release, Native North America, Volume 1, Aboriginal Folk, Rock, and Country, 1966 to 85. So here we go. Here's Willie Mitchell.
The name of the song is Call of the Moose. Listen to the older folks, to what they have to say. And I listen to the waterfall begging for another day. And I listen to an eagle cry dying high in the sky. And I listen to the call of the moose as she lays down to die. Don't you know we gotta let him be? Don't you know, can't you see? I listen to the man of the law, I listen to his way. And I listen to a crack of a gun, and I'm the one that had to pay. And I listen to the Ojibwe chant and to the drumming of the Cree. And I listen to the cry of the people dying of mercury. Don't you know we gotta let him be? Don't you know, can't you see? Don't you know? Whippoorwill, the crickets are all in tune. And I listen to a dying tree and to the whistling of a loon. And I listen to a howling wolf echo throughout the night. And I listen to a bark of a seal, and he's just a buddy sight. Don't you know, you gotta let him be? Don't you know, can't you see? Don't you know, you gotta let him be? Can't you see?
Because she don't understand. She feels that love and life has passed her by, left her out in the cold. She feels a victim of love who was born to lose. Don't hang yourself for a man who don't understand. She feels a victim of love who was born to lose. Don't hang yourself for a man you don't understand. Your mom and dad try to help you, bring you happiness and love. She turns her head and walks away. No
Nobody can deny that love can pass you by. Sunny days are feeling down, but when he's around you're alive. She feels a victim of love who was born to lose. Don't hang yourself for a man you don't understand. She feels a victim of love who was born to lose. Don't hang yourself for a man you don't understand. Still a young country girl, still have a lot to see in this world. She turns her head and walks away. Nobody can deny that love can pass you by. For a man who don't understand. She feels a victim of love who was born to lose. Don't hang yourself over a man who don't understand. Oh.
September 17th to 20th, Portlandia Festival will transform Victoria, BC, featuring a diverse lineup of artists across numerous stages and pop-up venues, all within walking distance in the city's beautiful and historic downtown core.
Dancing naked around a fire, leaving trouble behind, swimming in the water.
This year's acts include Chromeo, Julian Casablancas plus The Voids, Chiesa, Arkellis, and more. Visit Rifflandia.com for full details.
Sometimes you get tied down.
Okay, welcome to Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show for this week. Amazing stuff. So we had three tracks from the Native North America Volume 1 Aboriginal Folk Rock and Country 1966 to 85, a groundbreaking compilation of a really criminally underappreciated Aboriginal music. And it was lovingly put together by a gentleman who's actually from Vancouver, and his name is Kevin Howes. So those three tracks we played. First up was Willie Mitchell, who, as I mentioned before, he survived being shot in the head by a police officer and went on to become a great songwriter and wrote that fantastic song, Call of the Moose. We heard a live version of it. And in the middle was a gentleman named Brian Davey with his song Dream of Ways. And then finally there, that was Morley Loon, with a track that was recorded at CBC Radio in 1979 in Montreal. And again, there's so much great stuff in these liner notes. Just, one little thing about this gentleman, Morley Loon, is that apparently in the early 80s, he co-founded the Vancouver-based band Red Cedar with Rilly Thrasher, Robert Hall, Nilak, and Mia Hunt. The socially conscious group conducted an extensive tour throughout the United States with the Native Communications Collective White Roots of Peace. The tour culminated in a performance at the 1980 Black Hills International Survival Gathering in South Dakota. Loon was active as a musician until his untimely cancer-related death in 1986. His indomitable spirit and music lives on. Amazing. And he's just one of the huge number of fascinating artists documented here. And there's actually lyrics as well. Excuse me. So highly recommended. The Native North America Volume 1, Aboriginal Folk, Rock and Country, 1966 to 85. And I recommended this CD to this week's special guest. I knew he would love it, Andy Gordon. There's definitely a connection between this album and what we're just about to hear from him. So stay tuned. We will be right back. You're on Stranded.
Howdy, folks. We're the Bitterweed Draw, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
So one of the things I really love about doing the show is getting to, well, share music from Australia with Canadian listeners, but particularly when there is an artist who visits from Australia who I get a chance to chat with, interview, and sometimes record a live set with. And we've done that this week with Andy Gordon. He's all the way from Kangaroo Valley, which is not far from Sydney, on the eastern seaboard of Australia. And Andy is a well-established alt-folk singer. He has a website, andygordon.com.au, with lots of information and a bio, discography, and gigs. He has gigs here in British Columbia, his first time over here. He's been here for about a week, and I caught up with him just a few nights back, and we're just about to play that extensive interview now. What is amazing about Andy's album, New Albion, which he's just released, not only does it sound incredible, well recorded, but it's a real concept piece. It's a song cycle that he put a lot of work into, and it's all songs based on the first few years of the settlement in New South Wales when the first fleet arrived from Britain. So that occurred in 1788, was first contact there with the Aboriginal people. And Andy has done a lot of research in the State Library to help to create these songs that reference some very specific events that occurred in the first few years of the first Australians interacting with the convicts and troopers and governor, then freshly arrived from Britain. So, Yeah, I highly recommend listening in for the next while. This is an extensive interview, and it's well worth it. The live tracks are fantastic, and it's a little preview of what you can hear at the Railway Club coming up on the 16th, Wednesday night. We're going to kick it off. Doors open at 9, and Andy Gordon will be playing along with myself, Em Lund, and Sheena Marie, and Christy McCracken. So here we go. Here it is. This is Andy Gordon here live in the CITR studios. Here we are on Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show, and our extra special guest this week is Andy Gordon, folk singer all the way from Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales. Andy, hello.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm so pleased that you're here in the flesh because we've spoken on the phone in July 2013. I remember that interview well.
It was a great interview. We've also emailed backwards and forwards over the years and tweeted, but it is nice to put a face to the name and to the words, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
So far, you've had a bit of taste of Vancouver and the island.
Mm.
Victoria, you actually had some family you didn't know about. Is that true?
Well, that is true, yes. And I learnt about Morgan and Jen a year ago. My mother visited and she hooked up with them, but I didn't really sort of think about it all that much, and then I was putting the tour together and I literally had forgotten about the fact that they were here, and my mother said, "You should hook up with Morgan and Jen," and I was like, yeah, and again didn't place a heck of a lot of importance on it, and then realised, wait a minute, I will have enough time, and so I thought, oh well, be nice. I'm so glad that I did it because it's very interesting. They're a lovely couple, and they come from my father's side of the family, and my father disowned his family, so I grew up never knowing anybody from his side of the family, so it's quite nice. The similarities are remarkable. They're second cousins. Morgan and I look very similar. He's a muso, he's a drummer in a band called Man Made Lake. Oh. And Jen is a chef, and they own two restaurants in Victoria. They own the Pink Bicycle and the Clay Pigeon. So it's weird because my partner's a chef as well. So yeah, go figure. And we're getting along really nicely. It's really nice to see them and to connect with them.
Well, welcome Andy Gordon to CITR and to the Pacific Northwest. We have shows coming up Wednesday the 16th at the Railway Club here in Vancouver on the North Stage. Andy will be playing. And today you'll get a bit of a treat. You'll hear some, three songs. It looks like that Andy's going to play for you to introduce you to his music if you're new to him. Andy is actually, he has just released a brand new album called New Albion.
Yeah.
It's just lovely. I've been listening to it. I want to let people know first up that Andy is, he put a lot of effort into this album. It has a deep historical theme to it. Andy, can you sum up what your concept for this album was?
Yeah, I wanted to write a song cycle based on the first 5 or 6 years of the colony. I recorded a song called Bree Long Black in 2012 for an album called The Reverend Jorphy, and that spun out of a book that I read, and it got me interested in the story of Jimmy Governor, which was Australia's first black bushranger. And I guess the journey that song took me on, and meeting Auntie Loretta, his great granddaughter, and she's sort of taken me under her wing. So all of a sudden, I guess my awareness of Aboriginal Australia really rose. All of a sudden, I had people I was spending a lot of time with, and her extended family, and stories, and I just became even more interested in Aboriginal Australia than I had ever been before, and I guess I gained a greater understanding of it as well than I ever had before. And heaps of things were happening on the side of that as well, in things that I was doing with Hall and creatively and stuff like that. So I guess, as is always, nothing ever happens by itself. There's always other things going on, but everything seemed to be pointing to me wanting to learn more and read more about Aboriginal Australia. And I guess I got for thinking about the colony, and then when I started to read a little bit, I actually read The Fatal Shore first, because I really wanted to get that perspective. It was a book my dad loved. He was a historian. And I thought, oh, well, that's a good place to start.
Robert Hughes.
Yeah. And that was a good place to start, actually, because it gave me... I like Robert Hughes. I really like Robert Hughes. He is quoted as saying that supreme self-confidence is the consolation prize for the less than gifted. Self-doubt is the companion of the true artist.
Huh.
And, well, the constant companion of the true artist, something along those lines. And I guess that's always resonated for me, you know.
Yeah.
And it's true, you know. It's very true. Self-doubt, it walks side by side with any creative endeavour.
As a new songwriter myself, I feel that, yeah.
Yeah.
But you persevere.
Yeah, it makes you want to do better, doesn't
yeah.
it? I guess that's the thing, you know. And to come out of the blocks super confident and thinking that you've got it all happening probably means it's pretty shallow, you know. And so I guess it's that questioning and that seeking and searching that's what I've always done. So, yeah, this journey kind of began, and as I started to read more about it, I started to become more and more fascinated with the fact that in those first 5 years... there was the will and the goodwill and the belief and the respect between the British from all levels down to be respectful and to interact in a positive way with our First People. It was meant to be a meeting of the minds, and it was meant to be respectful and slow and steady. And Philip was a romantic, and he was a lover of Blake, and Blake referred to England as Albion, and Philip got it in his mind.
Folks, we've got a little bit of you might have heard some distortion there with our interview. I'm actually going to try something and start it again in a different part of the system. So apologies. I'm pretty sure this is going to work and sound better. So if you don't mind, we'll start it again. This is an interview with Andy Gordon, Australian folk singer. Let's see how this works. In New South Wales, Andy, hello.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm so pleased that you're here in the flesh.
Yep, this is sounding better.
On the phone in July 2013. I remember that interview well.
It was a great interview. We've also emailed backwards and forwards over the years and tweeted, but it is nice to put a face to the name and to the words, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
So far, you've had a bit of taste of Vancouver and the island.
Mm.
Victoria, you actually had some family you didn't know about. Is that true?
Well, that is true, yes. And I learnt about Morgan and Jen a year ago. My mother visited and she hooked up with them. But I didn't really sort of think about it all that much. And then I was putting the tour together and I literally had forgotten about the fact that they were here. And my mother said, you should hook up with Morgan and Jen. And I was like, yeah. And again, didn't place a heck of a lot of importance on it. And then realised, wait a minute, I will have enough time. And so I thought, oh, well, be nice. I'm so glad that I did it because it's very interesting. They're a lovely couple, and they come from my father's side of the family, and my father disowned his family. So I grew up never knowing anybody from his side of the family. So it's quite nice. The similarities are remarkable. They're second cousins. Morgan and I look very similar. He's a mezzo. He's a drummer in a band called Man Made Lake. Oh. And Jen is a chef, and they own two restaurants in Victoria. They own the Pink Bicycle and the Clay Pigeon. So it's weird because my partner's a chef as well. So, yeah, go figure. And we're getting along really nicely. It's really nice to see them and to connect with them.
Well, welcome, Andy Gordon, to CITR and to the Pacific Northwest. We have shows coming up Wednesday the 16th at the Railway Club here in Vancouver on the North Stage. Andy will be playing. And today you'll get a bit of a treat. You'll hear three songs. It looks like Andy's going to play for you to introduce you to his music if you're new to him. Andy is actually, he has just released a brand new album called New Albion.
Yep.
It's just lovely. I've been listening to it. I want to let people know first up that Andy is, he put a lot of effort into this album. It has a deep historical theme to it. Andy, can you sum up what your concept for this album was?
Yeah, I wanted to write a song cycle based on the first 5 or 6 years of the colony. I recorded a song called Breelong Black in 2012 for an album called The Reverend Jorphy, and that spun out of a book that I read, and it got me interested in the story of Jimmy Governor, which was Australia's first black bushranger. And I guess the journey that song took me on, and meeting Auntie Loretta, his great granddaughter, and she's sort of taken me under her wing. So all of a sudden, I guess my awareness of Aboriginal Australia really rose. All of a sudden, I had people I was spending a lot of time with, and her extended family, and stories, and I just became even more interested in Aboriginal Australia than I had ever been before, and I guess I gained a greater understanding of it as well than I ever had before. And heaps of things were happening on the side of that as well, in things that I was doing with Hall and creatively and stuff like that. So I guess, as is always, nothing ever happens by itself. There's always other things going on. But everything seemed to be pointing to me wanting to learn more and read more about Aboriginal Australia. And I guess I got for thinking about the colony. And then when I started to read a little bit, I actually read The Fatal Shore first, because I really wanted to get that perspective. It was a book my dad loved. He was a historian. And I thought, oh, well, that's a good place to start.
Robert Hughes.
And that was a good place to start, actually, because it gave me... I like Robert Hughes. I really like Robert Hughes. He is quoted as saying that supreme self-confidence is the consolation prize for the less than gifted. Self-doubt is the companion of the true artist.
Huh.
And or the constant companion of the true artist, something along those lines. And I guess that's always resonated for me, you know.
Yeah.
And it's true, you know. It's very true. Self-doubt, you walk side by side with any creative endeavour.
As a new songwriter myself, I feel that, yeah.
Yeah.
But you persevere.
Yeah, it makes you want to do better, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing, you know. And to come out of the blocks super confident and thinking that you've got it all happening probably means it's pretty shallow, you know. And so I guess it's that questioning and that seeking and searching. That's what I've always done. So yeah, this journey kind of began, and as I started to read more about it, I started to become more and more fascinated with the fact that in those first 5 years, there was the will and the goodwill and the belief and the respect between the British from all levels down. To be respectful and to interact in a positive way with our first people. It was meant to be a meeting of the minds, and it was meant to be respectful and slow and steady. And Philip was a romantic, and he was a lover of Blake, and Blake referred to England as Albion, and Philip got it in his mind that he'd like to call the colony New Albion. That's why I've titled the album that as well. And he sort of thought that people would begin their lives afresh and start again, and that all of these convicts we were bringing over would one day become free people and good people. And
Model citizens.
And you know, he had this dream. But for smallpox, maybe that would have happened, I guess. Smallpox sort of stepped in those early years of the colony and pretty much wiped out all of the first people living around the harbour. And that was devastating. And then Philip left after 5 or 6 years, and pretty much that was the nail in the coffin. And we're now in a situation some 220-odd years later where, you know, it's time for us as a nation to start thinking about this. And I guess, in a small way, this album's me thinking about it and hoping that other people will think about it a bit too.
Let's give people an idea of how it sounds.
Okay, well, this is the first song on the album. It's called Lieutenant Dawes. He was the astronomer. He came over, and on that first fleet, and he was a bright man. He worked with Philip getting the boats across, and you know, it was very, very difficult in those days to tell where you were on the planet. You needed someone who could look at the stars and look at the sun and work out the latitude and the longitude. So he was a bright man, and when they settled the colony in Sydney in Warrain, which is what the first people called it, what we now call Sydney Cove, I guess, he quickly set up a tent and an observatory on the western side of the harbour, and where we now call Dawes Point. So his name's Lieutenant Dawes. That was a very special women's business place. That was actually called Tada, and a little bit around the corner was Tullagala, but these days we call it Dawes Point. And right above that now is also where the observatory still stands to this day.
Wow.
It's where the southern pylon of the Sydney Harbour Bridge is, if anyone knows what Sydney Harbour looks like. And so Dawes made his way across the ocean. He was only here for 3 years, and he fell in love, or made the acquaintance of, no one knows for sure, with a young 15-year-old Aboriginal woman called Paddy Garang. And she taught Lieutenant Dawes an awful lot of Sydney language, First Peoples language, Gadigal language. And he documented it all very, very well. He was a scholar and a bright man, as I say, so he did a good job of documenting it. And in fact, pretty much, with the exception of a few other authors, pretty much what we know about the Sydney language came from Lieutenant Dawes and Paddy Garang. So I guess this is his song. I melded it a little bit with another guy, David Collins, who was also a first officer on the voyage. He wrote to his brother, "Invoke the kindest breeze to blow, for I hate the salt sea ocean." And I felt very sorry for him embarking on that voyage. You know, I thought, you poor bugger, it must have been months at sea feeling dreadful. He comes out as a pretty good man as well. Those officers in the First Fleet, they were all bright, and they were all very, they had a heart and a soul, and I guess there's a bit of one of those but for, you know, like had it have happened slightly differently, maybe we'd be in a different relationship with our First People now.
Mm.
Maybe something we could be very proud of in the world, but instead it's, yeah, it's uncomfortable.
That's right. This is Andy Gordon live here in the studio.
St. Helens, then out to sea. My love, I don't want to leave. Invoke the kindest breeze. Leave like January leaves. I hate the roll of the salt ocean sea. Darling, I don't want to leave. Hear me, Paddy Garang. Hear me calling your name. My head in the stars, and my heart in your hands. Hear me, Paddy Garang. Loneliness is part of me. My life has been on the sea. A fear in your eyes, there's no disguise. The way you look upon me, your people are calling you back. Paddy,
don't leave just yet. The banks of the rivers known only to song, and he who has lain among. Hear me, Paddy Grang. Hear me calling your name. My head in the stars and my heart in your hands. Heal me, Paddy Grang.
Toronto-based psychedelic pop band Grounders will be at the Media Club on September 22nd in support of their debut self-titled LP. With help from members of Broken Social Scene and Absolutely Free, this hazy album is as addictive as the Beach Boys, experimental in its complexity, and begging to be heard live.
That is Andy Gordon with the lead-off track to his brand new album, New Albion, and he just performed that live here for Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show. It's a song called Lieutenant Doors, about a very brave man.
Yeah, bright man, and I really admire him. There's some characters, both black and white, in these early years that you can't help but really admire them, and he was one of them. I really like Doors. He only lasted 3 years in the colony. He defied Philip, even though they had a good relationship. Philip had a game hunter. He shot a few of the first people, and he was generally regarded as a brute and a thug. I guess Philip liked him because he was very good as a gamekeeper, and so he was murdered by Pemulwuy in a retaliation. And in frustration, Philip ordered an attack and wanted Pemulwuy brought back, more or less dead or alive. So he ordered this attack, and Dawes refused to go. It wasn't the done deal to go against the superior officer. And so Dawes was sent home after 3 years, and you know, I think he very much reluctantly went. I think he saw his future in Australia, and I think he saw himself as a documenter of not only the stars and the beginning of an Australian observation of the Southern Hemisphere. He was certainly motivated by that, but he was doing a grand job of recording the language, and I guess if he had stayed around, we would have probably had an even greater understanding of that language.
The album shows that, yeah, it wasn't all about rum, sodomy and the lash. Like you say, there were these interesting people, they're individuals, and
yeah,
some with good character.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think the rum, sodom and the lash was certainly in amongst the convicts, and then, you know, once they had served their 7 years or their 5 years that they were transported for, then they were free. And when the convicts moved out into the countryside that's when the rot really set in. You know, they were brutal people and they had no regard at all for the Aboriginal people. And then subsequent governors certainly had a totally different outlook to Philip as well. So I guess, you know, in some ways the time that I'm looking at is very dreamlike, and I guess that's why it appeals to me, that it's one of the, as I said a bit earlier, it's a but for kind of situation, you know. And I guess in this day and age, I think maybe looking at the fact that it did once work and it could have and could still, and with mutual respect and listening, I think that's kind of, if there's a message, if there's an overarching kind of theme, it's one of listening and respect, and maybe a way forward is that to begin with too, you know.
Yeah, it's easier when you begin that way, but maintaining it's the hard part. Humans seem to have a hard time maintaining.
It's true.
Good things.
Well, I guess, you know, it's leadership that gives that to humans though too when it's done well, and I guess that's also part of the story that Philip was the governor. He carried across, oh, I think it was 7 sheets of paper that had all of the authority that he had to be the governor. There's a little bit of an excerpt from it. I had a friend who's British read a section of that as it pertains to Aboriginal people and how they were to be dealt with, and that features just before the third song on the album.
Yeah, it's really effective.
Well, it's interesting hearing the words, you know.
Yeah.
And when you realise, oh, goodness me, so that was what he was told to do. They were the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Andy is talking about his record, new album. I mean, it's fantastic from a lyrical perspective and the concept and the story, but equally the production is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to learn about Sid Green and your relationship with him, and if you could bring us to the place and time where you recorded this album and tell us a bit about that.
For sure. Every time I work with Sid, we seem to be able to dig deeper into each other. So we did the Reverend Joffe for the first time. That was the first time we worked together, and then we made an EP after that called Black Sea. It was a pretty dark time of my life, but also very, very good creative period. And then we came together to make this album. And so I spent a year or so kind of putting it together in my head, and with some spates of really solid research up at the State Library in Sydney. And what I brought were half-finished songs, fully-fledged lyrical ideas. And when we get together, we put a piece of wood in front of us, that then we put the lyric sheet on it, and we begin kind of pulling apart the song and breaking it down from its very literal point, which is how I tend to bring a song to the table. It's quite well thought out, it's quite literal, it's probably boring, but when Sid starts work with it on me and we start to pull out the essence of it and we start discarding anything that is repetitive or meaningless or doesn't add to the emotion or the feel of it, and it's at that point too where we'll start to play together. So we'll face each other in the studio. We're always looking for a nice room to work in. This time we worked in a studio in Nowra above the Arts Centre. It was really lovely. Nice big room. And so he'll be generally on his drums and I'll be generally on a guitar of some sort. And we'll start playing the song. And then we very quickly start taking things away as well. Like all of a sudden the guitar part will become simpler. And we're looking for space. We want to be able to walk around in the songs. So it's mad creative time. We also have a rule pretty much where we try to do a song a day. So we work pretty quick and we make decisions based on the heart and the sound. We're both sonically in the same headspace. We both love Buddy Miller and Mary Gachet and, you know, sort of West Texan sound. And we're looking for honesty, you know, I guess, and sort of a sonic path of honesty that serves the song too. He brought some musical pieces to this album too, which were really lovely, and they formed the basis of some of the songs like Always Hungry and Circle in the Sand, very much him musically. And oh, look, it's lovely. It's such a great musical relationship, and we're good friends as well, so we like spending time together. Mm.
And you did actually just mention that song, Circle in the Sand, and that really jumped out at me, and one I'm hoping you might be able to play for us.
Yeah, sure.
Because it too has a really interesting story to it.
Yeah. Yeah, Circle in the Sand is very interesting. When a young boy is initiated, he'll move from... That's to say, when he becomes an adult, he'll move from one circle to another. Circles are important to Indigenous people. When Philip and four of his officers were looking for a site for the colony, they'd quickly worked out that Botany Bay wasn't going to sustain a colony, and the soil wasn't there and the water wasn't there. So they went up to Port Jackson in one of the larger boats and moored in Camp Cove, and then got out into a longboat and rowed across the heads of Sydney Harbour, and they trolled for fish along the way, and they rowed into Manly Cove, and although it wasn't called that then, but the Gammeraygal men, pardon me, came down into the water to greet the boat. And Philip said to his men, "My goodness me, these men are manly." And they were. They were strong, big men. Quite a little bit different to the Gammeraygal people from Botany Bay. And they remarked upon that, the officers and Philip. So he named the place Manly. And it's still called Manly today. And Cammeray, of course, on the northern suburb, is also named after the Gammeraygal people. So Philip and his men wanted to eat the fish that they'd caught, so they built a fire. And the manly men, the Gammeraygal men, were, well, they saw the fire and they saw the fish, and reciprocity is a big thing in Indigenous culture. And so the idea of sharing a meal and introducing yourself is how it works. So they came down and started to poke at the fire and help it along a bit and get ready to eat the fish, and Philip and his men were having nothing of it. So Philip drew a circle in the sand and communicated with them successfully enough that they were to stay outside the circle and he and his men were to sit inside it and eat their meal in peace. Well, each of the men that were with Philip wrote about it, so there are four accounts of it. Everybody has a slightly different take on it, but everybody writes the same way. But the more that you read it and the more you think about Aboriginal culture and how it works, the more I don't think that Philip really all that successfully communicated that they were to stay outside of the circle. I think they probably saw the circle being drawn in the sand and went, righto, this is interesting. And Philip was missing a front tooth. And so to them, he could well have been like an initiated man. In fact, he probably was initiated. I mean, why else would he be missing a tooth? And so I reckon they sat back and went, we're going to see something pretty special here. And so, you know, there's the whites thinking, well, we successfully communicated that to them. And there's the Gammeraygal men sitting there thinking, well, something interesting is going to happen. And of course, all that really happened was the white fellas ate their fish and then got back in their boats and rowed away. It must have been quite confusing, I think. So
Many misunderstandings that occurred, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I got quite interested in that. Circle in the sand, but what you didn't understand, you got nothing in your hands, just a circle in the sand. Sit and watch someone, wait for crumbs from the back porch, and it must have been a sight to see the light
of a thousand dreams wide open. Drew a circle in the sand. And you made them understand. A ruler of the land with just a circle in the sand. To start something anew, up to you. What were you thinking? And if we turn the clock back now, would this be how we'd do it all again? We'd do it all again. Lost liberty, opportunities, misunderstandings. Where's gone your heart? It was a start. Would you do it all again? Would you do it all again? He drew a circle in the sand. What he didn't understand. You got nothing in your hands. Just a circle in the sand. Just some writing in the sand.
Something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here. God. Oh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Oh.
Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Thank you, Andy Gordon, for one more fantastic song here live in the studio. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show. And if you like what you hear, you can hear that song and more at the Railway Club here in Vancouver on Wednesday night, the 16th, from roughly 9:30. Andy will be he'll be playing, but supported, first of all, by myself, Em Lund, and also Sheena Marie and Christy McCracken, sorry. You're here in Vancouver, and it's your first tour of this part of the world. I'm wondering about, yeah, the next steps, because I know on your website you're doing some interesting journeys up as far as the Yukon. And
Yeah.
That's really cool.
When I wrote this album, I really wanted to bring it over here. In the back of my mind was the idea of touring and telling these stories and playing these songs. And I'm not sure why I thought that Canada was such a big deal in my mind. I guess because we have similarities, you know, with First People, and we have our courts look to your courts for precedent, particularly in dealing with native title and Indigenous rights. And in some ways, you're ahead of us, and in some ways, we're doing better than you. But probably, when you even it out, when neither of us are doing too great at it. But I feel like everybody's at that point where some people are asking questions and some people want to know more. And I guess this album for me was a journey of knowledge. And I hope for anyone listening to it, it's just a starter. You know, I hope that someone, their interest is sort of piqued and they want to really go on and learn more and read more. And, you know, like I say in the liner notes, go and meet some First People. Go and befriend them. Talk to them. You know, like, that's pretty scary, but that's the enriching bit. That's when it really starts to happen, when you realise, oh, my goodness me, this is what has to happen everywhere, you know. People are beautiful and stories are beautiful and, yeah, it really has changed my life and affected me very much as a human being, and I just can't imagine my life without the knowledge that I have now and the relationships that I have now. And I guess that's, yeah, it's been a great journey for me. I'd love it if other people had similar journeys.
Yeah, and yeah, just for me, sitting in my apartment here in Vancouver, just really being moved by your words in the liner notes and bringing some fragments of knowledge back to me. But it is only fragments because I was educated in Australia, but still a lot of this is new to me, and I'm wondering why.
The history is hand-picked. The history that we learn is very much hand-picked, you know. When you go past those first 5 years that I'm fascinated with, there's the history is not taught, and that's when it gets really horrible. It's when the massacres start.
That's right. Yeah.
And there's thousands of massacres. And, you know, there's photos every now and then you'll see them on Facebook. There's men in chains, and they've got breastplates and chains, and they're chained around their neck and they're chained around their feet. And there's, you know, 15, 20, 30 proud, strong black men all chained together. You know, no one taught me that one at school.
No, exactly.
You know, looks like something out of the Deep South.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about your journey from here and other people you're going to interact with, like myself, who are curious.
Yeah.
Because you will meet them.
Well, that's what touring's so lovely about. You know, I mean, in Tour T, everybody that I've met in LA and Temecula and then Seattle and then coming up into Canada, it's been wonderful. It's been such a great experience. And it's, you know, it's enriching for me. And, I mean, that's why I'm doing it. You know, I mean, that's why you tour, is to meet people and sing the songs differently every time. And I guess I learn more about me and I learn more about Canada and more about people, more about humanity. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got time for one more song. The Fire Is Out. It looks like that you've chosen that as a single because you've done a video for it.
We like the song a lot. And we went up to Sydney, John, the Thursday before I flew out the following week, and we played this beautiful gig called High Tea, which is in a warehouse in Surry Hills. It's such a beautiful gig. It's my favourite gig in the whole world. And Sid said, well, let's shoot a video. And I went, okay, I guess it's that easy. And so he had his 7D, which is a beautiful Canon camera. They just, you know, they do look very good. And we just got the best afternoon. It was this beautiful late afternoon sunlight on Broadway there. And so, yes, it's on a very, very busy intersection in the middle of the city. What was really surprising is I just kept on thinking we're going to get arrested any minute for doing this. And nobody batted an eyelid. Even the people walking past pretty much didn't even look, you know. And in a way, that kind of serves the song quite well too.
Yeah, right. So the song we're talking about is The Fire Is Out, and it's the final track on the album, New Albion, and Andy's just about to play it for us.
No lines in the sand,
this place like the back of your hand. Men are proud, look out to the sea, looking for signs, signs, signs that only they see. Camigo man, saltwater law, saw your rival live on the shore. Islands that float, masked like the trees, maybe sailors like possums hung with white leaves. Not so long till you learn to say please. So hard to get up when you're down on your knees. You're the ghost, you're the ghost. Ooh, I thought I was gonna leave. You should not have seen another day, but you've been another day. Now you should leave. The shells of your mittens crushed by a hand, lime for mortar mixed with stone and sand. You're not invited, time is ignored. Your life set aside, left outside for another year. One man left, begs on his own, lonely moan. South Ed Road is now his home. No people left, gone to Gulgulla. When people throw coins that land in the gutter. A Gadigal man, his people were strong. Home in this place till the whites came along. You're the ghost, you're the ghost. Who I thought was gonna lay. You should not have seen another day, but you've been another day. Now you should lay. A songline's gone now when the last man dies. Sings him up strong. Do spirits live on? Will a kneel still mean what it once meant to you? Will a mischievous woman come out of the blue? Will she creep around evening when the kids are in bed? All his dreams walking and now they're dead. Goes, hear the goes. Who I thought was gonna leave. All hope is gone, the fire is out. We hang Buala, the fire is out. You're the ghost, you're the ghost. Ooh, I thought was gonna leave.
Thank you, Andy Gordon. That is the last track of the album New Albion. It's called The Fire Is Out. I should say, of course, every song on this album has got detailed description in the liner notes about its background.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of, instead of having lyrics, I just wanted to paint a bit of a story about each song, and then hopefully the lyrics are pretty clear, I guess. And I didn't really want the stories to just tell the song either. I wanted it to be a kind of fill you in a bit more and give you a bit more depth. But for The Fire Is Out, there's some pretty good documented evidence amongst Indigenous culture that when those first fleet ships came through the heads into Botany Bay, or, you know, when they could see them coming across the horizon that they looked like floating islands, and that the trees, you know, the masts could well have been trees, and you know, the things that were crawling all over them, well, you know, measured against what they saw and what they lived with, must have been possums, I guess, you know. And as they came closer, of course, the people were white, you know, and so they thought that maybe for a short period of time there, the indigenous people thought they were spirits. They had the feeling that maybe eventually we were going to go too, you know, and so that we'd come for a time, we'd share some food, we'd stay for a bit, and then we'd go. And so I guess I was very taken with that idea, you know, and so the fire is out. Guiyang Buala, that's Sydney language as well. You know, what happened first is we didn't leave, and all of the Gadigal men and women and all of the Cammeraygal men and women died, you know, and the last guy that spent his time, as the song says, he was begging on Old South Head Road. He was too proud a man to go into a house, an almshouse, and so he just sat out on the road, and people threw coins. And that was how he lived out his last few years, and he was the last guy. And so I guess, yeah, just that song and those images, the ideas, really resonated with me, and that's what that song's kind of trying to capture, I guess, that feeling. Beginning of the end, but also maybe the beginning of the start.
Yeah. Well, it's a fantastic song and so much depth to this album. And the cover there, imagine that's like something you'd find in a state library in a lovely book, or what is that?
It's in a beautiful book of Australian art put together by John McDonald. And that is an early painting. I think it's from around about 1810. It's credited on the inside. That's the guy Mia Lilly. And I saw that Jo, who does all my artwork, she came up with four different album covers. They were all stunning, and I couldn't pick, but that guy Mia Lilly, for me, I don't know, it just really spoke to the songs and to the time. It's a very unusual plant. It grows about 12 feet tall, and it's a massive flower that's as big as a salad bowl and red, bright red. And when that flower opens, which is this time of the year, that's when the whales make their way up the coast. And in the song Nyang Ngai, we talk about the red bloom opening up in Garua, which is the whale coming into the harbour.
Oh, wow.
And so that it resonated for me even more to have that on the album. But I guess there's also a part of me that when I first looked at it, it looked like an anatomical drawing of a heart. And so that appealed to me too, you know.
Okay.
Just this idea of this bare heart.
Yeah. So the album is New Albion, and Andy is in Vancouver here on the 16th Wednesday night. He'll be playing at the Railway Club. And, of course, andygordon.com.au.
That's right.
Is where you can find lots more information. Come out on Wednesday night, the 16th. I'll be playing myself, M. Lund.
This is my life. I wake up in... whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
Okay, so that was the interview with Andy Gordon. Such a special album, New Albion. He's come all the way from Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales, and if you missed the whole interview, it'll be up on the blog pretty soon, ostrandedradio.com. Of course, it's an incredible concept album all about the First Peoples of Australia interacting with the new settlers from around 1788, those few years there, just prior to, I guess, the expansion inward and the great regrettable slaughter that occurred. Andy Gordon has a website, andygordon.com.au, and please do come on down to the Railway Club in Vancouver on Wednesday night, the 16th, and you can catch us. Doors open at 9 o'clock. We're at the back in the side room called the North Stage. Playing will be M. Lund, Sheena Marie, Christy McCracken, and, of course, Andy Gordon. So thank you for listening, and let's get into the Canadian music now. Joe Past. So he is formerly of the psych outfit Spring here from Vancouver. Sadly, they parted ways. Joe moved to Montreal, and he's been putting out some songs now under the name Joe Past. And we're going to play for you a couple of his brand new tracks up on SoundCloud right now. This is Star Song.
Thank you.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
Sure, whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow across it, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're...
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
Okay, so we're just about at time here on Stranded. Two awesome tracks there from Joe Past, formerly of the band Spring here in Vancouver. Joseph has moved to Montreal, and he's put out those two songs on SoundCloud, Star Cloud and Monkey Mind. Awesome stuff. He is extremely talented. Now, that's it. So we've had a fantastic show. This was an extra special show. We had an extensive interview with alternative folk singer Andy Gordon from Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales, who is touring British Columbia. And you can catch that full interview at the blog ozstrandedradio.com. is where you can find the interview, along with all of our past archived interviews. So I'm going to leave you now with DOA, the Legends of Hardcore, and they have a brand new video out for an album called Hard Rain Falling, and the song is called Pipeline Fever. It's a funny, sarcastic look at the impending environmental disaster that will happen if oil companies manage to get their way and litter Canada and the USA with pipelines to move Canada's dirty oil, bitumen. And the press release says, of course, DOA has been fighting for your rights since 1978. And actually, I did just remember, I'm just going to reach over and grab, I'll be right back, because there is an event coming on. Yeah, I'll play another ad and I'll be right back, because there's an event I did want to mention, and I need to race across to find the details. So here we go. I'll be right back.
CITR and AMS First Week present Live at Lunch. CITR's annual afternoon concert series to kick off the school year is back and set to rock the nest. Join us every weekday from 12 to 1 p.m. September 8th to 18th to hear performances from Ora Kogan, The Backhomes, Fake Tears, Ace Martins, Late Spring, At Sea, Melt, Still Creek Murder, and Chopa Red. Eat your foodstuffs while you listen to our music stuffs. That's every weekday from 12 to 1 p.m. in the nest.
Okay, so just before we play that DOA song, there is a very related event happening. This is Coastal Tar Sands, Journey to Deleted Islands, a film by Richard Boyce. So it's a cinematic kayak journey. The filmmakers explore the narrow channels and a maze of islands along BC's north coast, precisely where hundreds of super tankers loaded with millions of barrels of Alberta tar sands will navigate if the Enbridge Corporation has its way. So it's a fundraising evening in support of the Legal Defence Fund of seven First Nations who are taking on Enbridge. The film will be shown at the Unitarian Church, 949 West 49th Avenue, Vancouver, on Friday, September 25th, 7 till 10 p.m. Tickets are $10 at Eventbrite. So, yeah, there we go. Coastal Tar Sands, Journey to Deleted Islands, filmed by Richard Boyce. So I'll mention this next week anyway as well. But, yeah, perfect timing then for DOA's latest clip, single. They have a film clip for it, DOA Pipeline Fever. Bye for now.
A DOA special report, Pipeline Fever, live to air in 5, 4, 3...
Yeah!
to man. Fight, fight, viva! All your company give a damn. We know what they'll say and we know what they'll do if they get their stinking pipeline through. And when the pipeline leaks and the tank of history, they'll disappear the money and leave it to me and you. Fight, fight, viva! Tank you on our reef. Fight, fight, viva! Oil spill grief. Fight, fight, viva! Broken promises. Fight, fight, viva! Better cease and desist. We know.